Okay, welcome here to Ray and ExploreRay.com and to This Week in Travel and Photography. This week I haven't been all that much about traveling. I've been to Oslo on a work-related trip, as I often are, but I have started to plan my trip to Australia, which I mentioned, like, I'm going to Australia, I'm going from Sydney and up to Cairns, to Ayers Rock, to Tasmania, and I'm coming back again, and I'm going it in about 6 weeks, and I'm really starting to looking forward to it. I'm starting to do my preparations, and of course, for me, the combination of travel and photography is an important thing. It's leading up to this. The major focus for me this week have been, when it comes to travel and preparations, have been two things. First of all, I have been lucky enough I've gotten a so-called Star Alliance award ticket. It has to, I'm part of this membership program, and that actually allows me to have a good ticket, which allows me to bring some extra luggage and so on. But because I'm doing some domestic flights internally in Australia, I have tried to find out how I can transport several suitcases, because I will have one case for I'll probably use like a duffel bag from like North Face or something like that for my main stuff, because it's roomy and it's very easy to travel with. And I will also have a suitcase for my DJI Phantom drone, and I will have in addition I will probably have a backpack for my main camera gear, and I have to send two pieces of luggage, and on some of the flights my travel agent have just booked the flight, and I have to pay for all, like a low budget airline, so I have to pay for all my cases and for some on the flights I have one suitcase and I have to pay for one extra, and this a little bit. But the other more important thing is actually, like I mentioned last week, just being able to go to Sydney to celebrate New Year's will be a fantastic experience, and I'm looking so forward to it. So I've been trying to find a way to get access to the fireworks show down at Sydney Harbour Bridge, and maybe access to one of the venues, one of the events who are hosting these New Year's Eve parties, which Australia and especially Sydney is famous for. So that has been like the main focus of my travel and preparations for travel this week. But I have to say, when I got to Oslo, I live up north in Northern Norway, and of course Northern Norway isn't especially famous for good weather, at least not in most of the year. This year has been strange, because it's hardly been any rain, any snow, anything. It's cold, it's nice, it's beautiful, the colors are crisp. It's like autumn in heaven. It's fantastic. And I of course, I brought my cameras with me when I went to Oslo. I brought my Canon, my Nikon, and my Fuji. And it has been crappy weather all week in Oslo. It has been raining, it's been pouring down, and I haven't had the urge of going around taking street photography, because either I have to do it indoors in some kind of special event, or it isn't that much to see on the street because people are trying to stay away and stay inside. But I have done a little, like I said, I have done a little specialty and the test. I tested my I just wanted to do a mental exercise for me. It's like, okay, if I'm bringing my DSLR, I don't want to bring my one of my smaller mirrorless or compact cameras, and like I want to bring a DSLR, and what single lens would I bring? And it's no doubt I have a Canon 24-70, and it's a 2.8 straight way true. It's a lens. For those of you who know these kind of terminology, they know that this is a good lens. And I've read and understood that some people regards the Canon 24-70 to be the absolutely best zoom lens of everyone, and I can understand why. The build quality is great, the colors are fantastic, the autofocus is fast, it just has everything. So that will be my recommendation. I have never actually tested that one, but if you should find something else you should consider if you're buying one general purpose lens, I would recommend looking at 24-105, which is another version. In addition, I have of course brought my Nikon with my 35mm, and now I had it for some weeks, and it's a spectacular camera. And I have to say, for street photography, I've taken a couple of shots, and for street photography, the 35mm on a 36-megapixel camera, which gives contrast a whole new meaning for me, at least. Some shots in black and white are just immense. One thing I have to say, though, I guess a little bit, one thing I have to say, I didn't know that was actually true, but, and probably, maybe some Canon aficionado will be a little bit mad with me if what I'm saying is now wrong. I've heard a rumor, or I think it's actually well documented, but I'm a big Canon fan, first of all, let me say that, but I'm also starting to become a big Nikon fan. But one tiny little difference I see between Canon and Nikon is that Nikon represents colors as is. Canon represents colors as is plus tiny little crispier, because that is what we like to see. So actually, it's an interesting thing, because I was out shooting landscapes yesterday, just for fun, or I'm getting back to it soon. And what I saw was that the colors was a little bit more dull than what I usually get with my Canon. And then I started thinking about it. Okay, this is actually more maybe a correct representation. So it doesn't kind of matter, because it only requires me, because I am post-processing it in Lightroom anyhow. So it just requires me to do a little bit of changing the temperature of the color a little bit, so it matches up with my mental image. But I have to say that it's actually a practical little bit interesting for me as a Canon or single Canon user to go to be a Canon and Nikon user at once, seeing that, okay, the same image looks slightly different from each other. But I totally understand why Canon did this, because at once it looks better. But okay, another thing, a totally different subject, as is, is that as some of you might have seen, I have started putting out some YouTube videos. I'm not a good film editor or anything. I've never been, but I like to share knowledge, and I like to share what I do. You have this company down in Oslo, which is called Photo Video, or now they changed name to Scandinavian Photo, and they have a lot of evening classes. They are made for people going to work day to day, and they have evening classes. My point is that on Wednesday, I saw that they had an evening class saying, we have a name called Movie Making, How to Develop Ideas. That was like Movie Making 101. And I was like, okay, this can be interesting. So I went there, and it was a great way of spending my evening. It was a nice course. It took 3 hours. And first of all, he used 45 minutes just going through the basic methodology, the basic notion of what is a container, what is a encoder, what's a codec, and all of these kind of things. And then he used most of the time starting to develop and telling a little bit about how to make a documentary, how to document things, how to make a drama, you can say, a little bit how it's built up, how you use making a shot list and all of these kind of things. And that was very, very interesting. So maybe the largest subject of today. I finally got my long-awaited 150-600 sports lens from Sigma. I have been waiting for this for years, almost. I am a big fan of Sigma. I have bought a lot of Sigma gear the last couple of years, and the first Sigma lens I ever bought was the 150 to 500. That is maybe the best value for money photo equipment I have ever bought. It's a spectacular lens. It is light. It gives you a reach you can never have. And it has another advantage. It's fantastically carryable. It's actually usable for handheld equipment. And I've been looking for change that. I've been looking for something I can use, because the problem with the 150-500 is that it doesn't give you particularly good images. I have, for instance, the 300-800 from Sigma, which is a lens in a totally different kind of scale. But the problem is it weighs 6 kilos, so you can't bring it unless you bring almost a truck. On the other end, I have the 70-200 2.8 Canon, which is also a spectacular lens, and with the teleconverter you get the 5.6 all the way through up to 400 millimeters, so that's also a nice lens. But the 500, the 150-500 has always for me been the one to go to. I bought last year the Sigma, the first zoom lens, telephoto lens they made in the sports series, the 120-300. That is a nice lens, absolutely, but it has one problem, and that is that since it's 2.8, and since it's a 120-300, a fixed aperture of 2.8, it's bloody heavy. And it cannot be used unless you have a monopod or tripod. So, in practice,
if you're not a sports photographer, it isn't the best thing to use, and you can't use it on wildlife. It's very, very difficult. And in addition, the zoom, the autofocus isn't all that fast. So when I heard that they were making a 600 millimeter 5.0 to 6.3 aperture, which comes with the new sturdy build quality of the new Sigma series, and they put out some teasers on the web, some commercial videos. First off, they put out a video where they show it on a rack. They just put a lot of fine grain dust, like flour, on it, and it just burst it off, and it worked. That, of course, is impressive, and it says something about the build quality, and it says something about how weather-sealed it is. The second video they put out was a video of the doing the same thing with water. They just poured water on it, and it was fine. And I was like, okay, this is actually what I'm looking for. So I was going to do a... a video with my unboxing of it. So on Thursday evening, but I've been wondering why I haven't got it, because I made a reservation for it several months ago. And several months ago. And I went into the store on Thursday. This is an Oslo, the store I use. And I went into the store on Thursday, and I asked the clerk, like, okay, do you know where it is? And he was like, we have one, but I can't find it. So he looked in the storage and everything. And then they understood what the error was. They had received one, but they have mistaken it for another brand. Or they haven't received one, but they had registered it as another brand. Okay, it's fine. So he said that I'm going to the main office tonight. So the manager said, I'm going to the main office because I'm having a meeting. So I will bring the lens tomorrow so you can get it before you get on the plane and get home. So I did like he said. I went to the store. I picked it up. And he was like, okay. I was like, okay, it's a big bag. It's a big package. I was like, do you have a big bag? No, we don't. But he said, okay. Let me just take it out, and you can have it on the pouch, and you can just put the papers and things in your other bags. Yeah, that's fine. And he was like, can I watch it? Can I look at it? He has never seen it before. He was like, okay, yeah, you can. And he was like, oh, this looks great. And it just does. It looks spectacular. And as I am recording this, I'm actually looking at it. And in combination, I was out yesterday doing my first ever shoots with this lens. And I have it on my Nikon D810. And I was just trying with a friend, just, okay, let me just see, okay, how sharp is this? Because one thing is that I have now a super telephoto lens with all the development Sigma has done in their equipment for the last couple of years. And I also have one of maybe the best cameras you get out there today, the Nikon D810, with the 36 megapixel sensor. So I was like, okay, how good is this? So I went up to this mountain ridge, and down below, I don't know quite how long it is, but let me estimate that it's maybe, let's say, half a mile, 500 meters, 800 meters, something like that, in straight line. Down below me was a farm, and there you had some sheeps grazing out in the field. And my friend here said, okay, let's try to take some pictures of the sheep. And first of all, I couldn't see them. So I went up and I got a nice point. And when I popped the ISO a little bit up to like 500 or something like that, so it added a little bit of grain. But okay, I popped it up to like 500 or 600 or something like that. And I used up to priority, and I got like a shutter speed of like, I think it was 1/600 of a second or something like that. A reasonable shutter speed for a monopod. And I put it on 6.3, 600 millimeters. And I shot. When I looked at the image, I could, of course, when you're studying detail in Lightroom, of course, you can see that it's a little bit, it isn't totally sharp at the very end. The problem, however, is that, okay, I can finally see details I couldn't see with my naked eye. Like, okay, this sheep has a black head and it's a white body. I will put out that image. I will mention it where you can find it in my podcast or in my page where I have my podcast. And I'll put out that image and you can download it and see for yourself, because I think it was kind of spectacular. Another thing I would like to mention about the lens itself is that it has some kind of function called MO on the focusing system. You have, of course, the autofocus and the manual focus, and you have an MO. I think it stands for manual override. I'm not quite sure, but the thing with it, which is interesting, is that if you are doing manual focusing on something, in many circumstances, that can be interesting. You can put it in, let's say you're setting up for a picture of, let's say, an animal through some branches or something like that. It's difficult to lock on. And I've used it in, like, the jungle. I want to take a picture of an animal, but I'm using manual focus to get it sharp, because otherwise it will focus on the branches in front. So, for instance, but if you are using manual focus, and the problem is that if you suddenly see an animal or something else that is moving and you want to track it, you can't use manual focus anymore. You have to use autofocus. The manual override thing that is on this system will have you in manual mode, so you will fix things. But if you press halfway down the release button, or you just twist it a little bit hard, the focusing ring, it will go to autofocus. So it's actually a really cool feature, because you are in manual focus, but just half press the shutter button and you're back in autofocus. And for instance, let's say you're in the wild and you want to take a picture of some other animals, you can do that. I think that is a really, really cool function. And yeah, and also I compared it to the 120-300, and I have to say that the 150 seems a lot, maybe not that sharp as the 120-300, but the autofocus is much faster, is my opinion, and the build quality is almost the same. And of course, the 120-300 is a lens that costs twice the amount that this lens costs, so it has something to do with that. Okay. Last point of this week's podcast is how to transport my quadcopter, my DJI Phantom drone. And the reason why I bought the drone was that I wanted to bring it with me when I'm going on my next adventure. And the next adventure, like I mentioned, is in Australia. So what I found out is that you have a company called B&W International who makes a specialized copter case. For those of you who don't know B&W International, that is the company that makes a little bit cheaper versions than Pelly makes the Pelly cases of. Pelly cases is fantastic transport cases. I have one, which I use when I transport my 300 to 800 millimeter Sigma, which is a beast. But if you don't need something that, if you're not going into a war zone, you probably won't need a Pelly case, approximately, almost. But the B&W International cases are, I have a couple of them which I use for other things, and they are spectacular. They are very good, sturdy, and they work very fine. And they have made one which is made especially for the DJI Phantoms. And I tried it yesterday. I have made a YouTube video, so if you go to my YouTube channel, you will actually find a little piece of instruction showing how it works and how it's organized and why I think it's a very good idea. And I have to say that I am so anticipating, especially if I have the opportunity to use it in either iOS Rock, Uluru in Australia, or if I can use it in the Great Barrier Reef or some jungly area in Tasmania. Because it's just something special about being able to see things with a bird's eye view. It just makes for something special. So, this is a lot of information. I will try to stick to a scheme of one podcast a week. And that's why I've called it This Week in Travel and Photography. I hope that you find some of the things I talk about interesting, and maybe even you can take a tip or two. If you're interested, drop me an email. Subscribe to my blog. Subscribe to my blog, or subscribe to my YouTube channel, or subscribe to my podcast if you want to. And please take care. Be safe if you travel. Go out and shoot images if that's what you do. And have a excellent day and remains of the weekend. Take care, and until next time, goodbye.